Hey, and welcome to Heat's weekly showbiz podcast, where a random group of us from Heat get together and discuss the showbiz stories that we are absolutely obsessed with this week. It comes out weekly, guess what? Every Friday. For more celebrity gossip, the magazine is out now. Heat Radio is on 24/7, and you can go to heatworld.com for breaking news. So I kind of almost want to duck out at this point because the first story that we're going to discuss that we're obsessed with this week is Love Island, which, as you all know, if you've been listening to the podcast, me, Joe Parkinson, by the way, I'm here with
Lucy Ford
and James Barr. Hello.
Thanks, guys. I don't watch Love Island.
Well, that's a good thing I do.
And Joe, what were you watching last night?
So while you guys were binging on Love Island, wasting your lives away, I was watching a very educational programme on BBC Two about the white rhino.
Please.
And being hunted to absolute extinction, and it was very interesting.
That is sad. That's very sad, but let's not talk about that here.
What's sad? The rhino being extinct?
The rhino, yeah.
Watching a documentary.
No, the rhino being extinct is sad, but that's not this podcast.
You
that's
know
a different
what's
one.
More sad?
What?
The injustice of Camilla in London.
Yes, so true. Oh my God. So, Lucy, I cannot believe that Johnny and Camilla are no more. This is too much.
So, full disclosure, we're recording this on the Thursday. Who knows what's going to happen tonight? Love Island changes so quickly that by the time this comes out, they might already be married. Who knows? But from the time of recording, Johnny and Camilla, hashtag Jamila, are no more. Ugh. And... oh my gosh, I cried watching it. I'm ashamed to say it. I sat in my room and cried when Camilla cried.
It's so emotional though, isn't it? And they play like heartbreaking songs in the background.
Yeah, they played like the song from the end of Fast and Furious 7.
They are basically playing my 3 a.m. I'm on my own in my bedroom eating chicken nuggets playlist. That's what's going on. And it's heartbreaking.
Johnny and Camilla, who were the people's favourites, people's prince and princess, broke up because Johnny started fancying Tyler.
He's gone from hero to full zero.
Yeah,
it's actually it's genuinely breaking my heart. I also feel like Camilla really wanted to be with him, but just wasn't ready to be vulnerable yet.
Yeah.
Because it's actually quite scary, and she's very real, and quite a lot of the skanks on Love Island are not Camilla. Like, she's perfect, and she probably really likes him, but isn't quite willing to have sex on TV or
which like
open up
enough.
It's hard. Yeah, like it's hard to be open in 2017 with people because you don't.
I mean, I've, as I said, I don't know, but I have watched glimpses of it, and it's obvious these people have just lived their lives wanting to be a reality TV star.
They want absolutely that fashion line. They want to advertise teeth whitening on
completely
Instagram.
You really
but
saw
the
it
thing
this
is,
week
you don't
actually
even have to watch a lot of it because it's like a carbon copy of Big Brother X on the Beach. You get those
cutouts
of that's like the girl that's kind of snaky and the boy who just is like a gym head and whatever. This is why Camilla's so great, because we're so used to seeing people just like jump into bed with people and like put their heart on their sleeve from the start because they want viewers to be on their side. But Camilla's just like, no, I'm gonna play it like a normal human in the outside world. And
Johnny's off.
Yeah, and not necessarily tell her feelings from the off because she doesn't know if she trusts him, which she shouldn't have because he was a snake. And
I wouldn't trust anyone on that show.
No. So basically, the reason I love Camilla so much, because last night, Wednesday night, was the first time that she'd kind of admitted that she liked Johnny or that she thought it was going somewhere. And it happened after he told her that he wanted to get with Tyler and they'd kind of officially broken up. And she was crying to Gabby. And that's the first time that she'd kind of said it. And then, but the best thing is, so she was like, oh, I really like him and I'm really sad and I'm really upset. But then when she talked to him, she was like, I want you to be happy. And if that's not with me, then that's fine.
Oh,
and
God.
She's like, I have a vested interest in you being happy.
I'm crying.
Because I care about you.
Stop it.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Just
stop it. This is so sad.
Oh my God.
Oh God. I'm actually crying.
My eyes are watering.
It's so sad.
I have got major FOMO. When I hear that Liam Gallagher doesn't come to do interviews at Glastonbury because he's in his trailer watching Love Island... it's just like, this show has taken over.
It has taken
it's so awful. I want Prince Harry to just show up in his helicopter and get her out of there.
Yeah.
Like, save Camilla.
Rescue her, Harry.
Rescue her from the snake.
She'll be the big star.
Yeah. Oh, for
because
sure.
Actually,
she's a contender to win. I mean, I don't know if she will.
No, I've got to be honest. Holly Willoughby out, Camilla in, everywhere. I just want her presenting everything.
She needs to be presenting, like, Country File or something.
Just everything.
Yeah. Antiques Roadshow.
The news. Hugh Edwards out, Camilla in. She's genuinely lovely, Joe. I feel like you need to invest at least like 5 hours of your week to Camilla.
I keep thinking of watching it and it's on, and then there's this program on the White Rhino and I'm like, nah, do you know what? I'm going to fulfill my life with that.
Can I ask a question before we just move on about Camilla? So obviously a couple wins Love Island.
Yes.
Can we petition, can we set up a number 10 petition so that Camilla can win as a singleton? Because singletons need respect.
Exactly. So what I was hoping last night was that Caroline made a surprise entrance into the villa to eliminate someone. And I just wanted her to eliminate everyone except Camilla, because no one else is worthy of the title. I wanted everyone to be out, Camilla to be in the villa and just enjoy herself and have a nice holiday on her own for the next 4 weeks.
I do like the idea of actually celebrating the singleton, because this is not giving a good message across to anyone who's single that you have to be in a couple to...
Exactly.
Camilla was like, she didn't want to get with him straight away. She definitely wasn't going to sleep with him straight away. I think there's something nice about, you know, because I just think that every single reality show has the same format. Like,
exactly.
Hot girl meets hot boy, they get off in about 2 seconds and then they jump into bed together that night. And I think it's nice to be like, actually, no, I don't want to sleep with you in the first minute that I've met you, especially if there's 68 cameras on you.
Right, well, that's the Heat campaign. We've launched it.
There was one point last night where Camilla was crying to Montana, but then she didn't want to seem like she was crying because everyone could see her. So Montana was like, oh, shall we just pretend that we're laughing? And then they just went like,
ha,
ha, ha, ha, and started fake laughing because girls have got each other's backs.
Well, there will be a National Treasure position to fill soon if Camilla wants to step in, because it does seem like Adele will be leaving us again.
I can't believe it, but actually I kind of knew it was going to happen.
I would love if Camilla started like playing at Wembley.
Yes, I'd buy a ticket. Yeah, first ticket sold.
So Adele's playing Wembley this week, which is the final leg of her massive stadium tour that she's been doing. And she announced on stage, again, I think she did this in New Zealand, didn't she? That this is probably the last time you'll see me, guys, because I'm finishing now to become a full-time mum and I can't effing wait. She's still going to make music, but she probably won't tour again.
It's really funny because I don't know why this is such a big surprise to everybody.
because hates touring.
Yeah, she said it many times and clearly she was just getting it all out in one go so she could be done. My tickets arrived and they literally say the finale in big text. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, this is it. Like I kind of knew that, which is why I bought the tickets, because I just thought I'm never going to get an opportunity to see her.
I know, I've never seen her.
If not again, like for a very long time.
Yeah, she said on Instagram, she wrote a letter to her fans and it said, it was important for my final four shows to be in London because it's my hometown.
Saying goodbye.
It definitely sounds like a sign off. And it's, but I mean, again, she's only 27, which makes me sad.
It's crazy though.
So you don't know, when she's, you know, in 5 years' time, she might be like, oh, actually, I kind of want to go out and have people screaming my songs at me.
I feel like she's going to wait till she's like 40. I think she's going to become a mum. She's going to do the shopping.
I think she'll get pregnant again very, very quickly.
I do too. I think she will just completely shut off. There won't be a tweet for years. This is not an Ed Sheeran. This is not I'm having a year off. I'm not going to be back. You won't get new music from me. I'm going traveling. This is I am going to be a mum, have a normal life. And then I reckon in like 10, 15 years, maybe she'll go, let's write a new album. Why not?
She's kind of an old school musician who just wants to focus on the music. And she says she does the touring for the fans because obviously fans want to see her live, and the fans is why she's where she is now. But she just wants to make music and probably doesn't want the kind of promotion and the stress and the tiredness that comes with doing a massive world tour. She has been on tour for 15 months or something.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
That is an insane amount of time to not even be at home.
But it's interesting though, because if you ask most artists, they'll say their favourite thing about doing what they do is playing live and being on the stage in front of all the fans and hearing them sing the songs and feeling the atmosphere. So I just find it interesting that she actually doesn't enjoy that side of it. But I guess there is huge pressure that comes with doing those huge shows, and that's where some artists go off the rails, because they can't ever match that high of being on the stage. And when they come off stage, Robbie said it, didn't he? He hit a huge low, and that's when he started doing loads of drugs to try and recreate the high that he was feeling on the stage.
She is a singer on her own. You sometimes find like bands like playing together because they've got this unit and they can kind of bounce off each other, but Adele is so vulnerable on her own. Like, not only is she on her own, but her songs are quite vulnerable. To open up your heart like that every single night.
And also the Robbie thing is really interesting, because I think at that point in his life, he probably was alone. Like, he didn't have a kid. And whereas Adele has a family, she has that somewhere else. So Robbie perhaps would have been drawing all of his attention and validation and love from his fans. That's then gone. Whereas Adele already has that back at home. She doesn't need to draw that from
And I think she's 60,000 people. Of, you know, she said last night, I think, that her husband, she said, thank you so much to my husband for letting me take our son on tour with me. I wouldn't be able to cope otherwise. But she's also very aware of the fact that she's affecting other people's lives, which I think some artists, their egos are so big, they don't think about anyone else. But I think she really does.
Oh, Adele, I love you.
Can't believe us. Why we need you.
Tickets? I know. I'm so sad she's leaving
we
us.
We need more Adeles in this world. We need less.
So what?
You know,
we
Justin
think?
Biebers and divas and stuff like that. We need someone real.
When do you think she'll be back? Should we put bets on?
What is the title of the next album if this one was 25?
56.
I'm thinking it will be. I kind of see it like a 45.
30. Because 30 is a big age, isn't it? Mm. When you're 30. What about it has to be 30.
I reckon
she will come back for like a Glastonbury headline slot as a surprise or something.
Okay,
and
so
that's how she's going to come back.
So Joe, you're saying 30. Lucy, you're saying...
So the next album will be called 30.
I don't know if it'll be 30 because that seems quite soon.
Well, that could come out at 33. Like she wasn't.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're saying 30. Mm-hmm. You're saying.
Yeah, I think I'd go 30 as well.
No, I'm not.
What are you going to go?
I'm going to go.
35?
I think I'm going to go. Well, okay, so 2017. So she's what age is she now?
27.
She's 27 now. I'm going to err towards 36 or 40.
But don't you think she'd want to mark a significant age?
No.
Not really.
I think she's... Maybe. I get that.
21.
That, but that's thinking like a music expert.
Yeah.
I think Adele...
Thinking like a promo team.
Yeah. I don't think Adele...
You've been around labels too long, Jo.
Her promo team is shit hot because actually they are working with her and the person that she is, little is... More, less is more, and they're really making the most of that with her, and it's really working. She's the only artist that does absolutely next to nothing, and she's huge, bar Beyonce. But Beyonce is massive on social media.
Beyonce. At least we've still got Beyonce.
At least we've got, yeah.
For now.
B.
I think it's going to be a 35, 36, 40. I just can't see her doing anything. I think she wants 10 years with her son, with her family. And she also said last time she wrote the album that she found it very difficult because she didn't want to write about being a mum and being happy.
I think she's been quite open about what does she write about now that she's happy.
Because right.
All of her songs have been heartbreak albums and, you know, bad relationships. And now obviously no marriage and family life is perfect. But for the most part, there's nothing that interesting about like, I love my son.
Right. And if you listen to like Ed Sheeran's music, he's definitely shifted to being much more like, aware of his audience. He's like, I've got millions of fans now, when he's rapping and stuff.
This song for these fans and this song.
Yeah, I'm going to do Barcelona and going to do Galway Girl. Yeah. I don't think Adele wants to do that.
So, moving from one female solo artist to another.
Are we talking about Katy Perry?
We are talking about Katy Perry, who is in this very
room. I'm freaking out about that. I'm
from someone with zero promotion to someone with all of the promotion.
All the promotion she could do. Yeah, so she came in to see us before she did Glastonbury. She did a really cool thing for us, actually. She did an intimate Q&A with fans and a very stripped-back acoustic session.
We are sitting where Katie was standing.
We are. There, she was in that kitchen making herself a cup of tea.
She made her own cup of tea.
Of course she didn't.
I mean, she had a Fiji water.
I was actually not pleasantly surprised because I've always been a big Katy Perry fan, but I think recently... There's been some negative press and, you know, some people are saying that she's having her Britney moment. And actually, she has been a bit sort of off the rails in certain interviews and in her live stream. But she was really quite cool and on it and she was brilliant with the fans.
I think the fans was the big thing because you see her on Ellen. I remember her on Ellen and I remember being quite annoyed by her. I was like, oh, tone it down. But I think having fans in front of you probably brings you back down to earth a bit more. And it's not even like they were like in the room somewhere. They were, you know, 2 feet away from her at her eye line because she wasn't even on a stage. So I think that kind of makes it a bit more natural because you're talking to someone that actually wants to talk to you rather than cameras.
We've got some really great clips of Katy to play. But did you guys see her Glastonbury performance? Did you watch it or flick through it?
I watched the whole thing with my daughter, who's a massive Katy Perry fan. And Lois cracked me up. She said, I love Katy Perry because she's cut her hair and no one likes it, but she doesn't care. And that's what's good about her. And I was like, you're 6 years old and you've totally understood something. I've never said.
That's amazing.
No one likes her hair.
I have questions about Katy Perry, but I thought it was really... sad, well, not sad in a bad way, but just like I was sad when I heard her and she was like, I didn't know you still like me. And it's like, what? There's like thousands of people in front of you. And then she sort of said,
am I cool?
Am I cool? I don't feel cool. oh, I feel really cool. Is my impression good?
And it's like Katie is back in the room.
And it's really odd for her to say that. But I feel like it's a bit too revealing. Like, I want a vulnerable, real pop star, but I don't know. I feel like she's had a hard time. I feel like she's sort of been living a bit of a breakdown, maybe. Not a Britney moment, but...
She's promoting her breakdown, which I think is...
Right. It's strange. It feels uncomfortable to me.
You want... I think part of the allure of celebrity is that they're people that you can idolize in a way. They're like something other. And then that's why we like an Adele, because, you know, she kind of makes you feel like, oh, I could be Adele, or, you know, she's just like someone down the street. But there's still something big about her and untouchable and kind of like she's a bit of an icon. But seeing someone go to therapy, you're a bit like, oh no.
You want to see them after.
I don't want to just see someone breaking down in front of me, because it makes you feel guilty.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not
sure.
Putting
that on them.
I don't know if that's what she's doing, but it feels like she's on a journey. Like, we're all on a journey in life, and that's totally cool. But I think I'm not sure she should have come out. I don't think she's ready yet. I think she needed some time. Plus, all that Taylor Swift stuff must have really been hard. Like, that's difficult on anybody. Being bullied, like, to that level, which is effectively what's happened, and by the media as well, like, jumping on it, like, ooh, isn't this saucy? And saucy? Isn't this shady? Like, we're all guilty of being, like, shade, but it's not great. It's not nice. I think she needed a bit more time, but...
The thing with Katy Perry is, in my eyes, she's always been super cool. Funny and super, super cool. And actually, maybe that coolness has been knocked off a little bit, because she's become a little bit more real. And actually, then I'm thinking, why am I even criticising her for that?
I think someone made a really good point the other day when we were talking in the office, that Katy Perry has never had to work for her success. In the sense of, like, she's obviously done the work, she's been in the studio, but her songs have just been hits.
Every single time.
Every single time. I Kissed a Girl came out immediately number one before it even was promoted. It just kind of became like a sleeper hit. And since then, every single song has either done as well or better. This is the first time with this album, because she's been away for a while, and her song for the Olympics wasn't that great.
The last album, I also thought, was not really there.
What was her last album?
I can't remember the name of it. Prism. Yeah. Prism had some good moments. Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
No, good song. There were some good songs, but it didn't also impact as big as the first.
No, but the singles off it were huge. Mm. What is the Egyptian one?
Dark Horse.
The Egyptian
Dark
one.
Horse.
Dark Horse, yeah.
So it's been, 4 years since she's done an album. She did that song for the Olympics, which I didn't think was that great. This is the first time that she's ever had to work hard for people to care about her.
And
I would say that it has not worked. Mm. I think her promotion has been it's been a sense of, like, let's throw anything at the wall and see what sticks.
I do also want to say, though, because if there's some, like, hardcore Katy Perry fans listening, and I would say that I've always been there for her. Before the first album, she worked very hard, like, in trying to get her name out and trying to meet people in LA and stuff. So she did work.
Team Katie,
I don't think it was like.
But you're just saying. No, I know. I'm just saying.
That, like, her songs since
basically
Kiss a Girl,
since she released her first album, she's had
her
runaway success. Yeah, I agree, definitely.
Right here, and she said, it's kind of weird because I was releasing songs and they would just be going to number one, selling, you know, millions of copies. And she even said, is this normal? Does this normally happen? And people around her were like, no, this doesn't normally happen. People have to work very hard for this and put in, you know, huge campaigns. And that hasn't been something that she's done up until this point. So maybe they haven't got her campaign quite right this time.
I
still think she's really cool.
But she still holds the record as well for, like, the most singles off one album to hit number one, right?
Teenage Dream is the ultimate pop banger. But I think, I mean, this is a whole separate podcast that you could go into, but I feel like even in that four-year gap, the music industry has changed to a point that was, it's entirely different. And I think that's probably part of the reason why her promo has been a little bit scatty, because she doesn't have to work on anything that she's known before. You know, Ed Sheeran can release an album and it can be number one for 15 weeks and every single is in the top 10. Taylor Swift can do nothing and be the most trending artist on social media.
I feel things quite heavily. Sorry, I sound really bizarre, but I'm really feeling all of that pressure from the Taylor Swift camp on Katie, and it must be awful. And you can kind of hear it on the album and then in her Glastonbury set, and you can see it. Like, it's out there for everyone, and it must be really difficult for her.
I mean, it must suck to have your bully be more successful than you, because I mean, Taylor Swift is more successful than Katy Perry
right.
in every single way.
Katy Perry's more followed.
Well,
on Twitter.
shall we actually hear from Katie? Because we were saying she was here, so we thought we'd just have a few little cuts of what she said for you guys. First of all, on why she cut her hair off.
I love it so much. Yeah. It feels very free. It feels very summery. And I save a lot of time. I save about an hour on my getting ready process. Because I used to have these long manes and extensions and clip-ins and things like that. And it just wasn't just like get up and go. And now I feel like I can get up and go. But I love it. I feel very sexy and modern in a way.
I can relate to this because I had a peroxide blonde pixie cut for a year of my life. And it does cut an hour or two off your routine. And it does, I mean, I didn't feel as sexy and free as Katy Perry because she's a natural goddess, but you know, I felt all right.
And I think she properly rocks it because there's not many people that can rock hair that short.
No.
And if you go on to heatworld.com, you can see the videos of her singing and the interviews. And actually you can see the camera is on her like all the time around her. And she is beautiful. She is absolutely stunning. And I thought, you know, the camera absolutely loves her and her hair. I do remember one time when I was at college, my friend Sophie shaved all her hair off. And she just said, it's ruined my fashion. I've had to get rid of my whole entire wardrobe because I just look like a tennis ball head in every single thing I wear.
I had to do that.
Which is, I think, what's happened to Katy.
I realized after I cut all my hair off that I had to dress very girly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I did look like a boy. Yeah. And I mean, you know this, I dress in like men's clothes all the time, and I had to start wearing short dresses and heels and everything, just
putting way more makeup,
so much more makeup on. Mm-hmm. And you can see that with Katy Perry, she's got full-on 80s glam at the moment. Another big thing for Katy Perry, we were saying, you know, her promo is not working, whatever, but she is now the highest paid female on television or something. She's signed as the judge for American Idol next year when it does a reboot, and she got something like $25 million just to sign up as a judge.
That's amazing.
It is pretty incredible. I mean,
nice.
I'm really concerned, guys. She shaved her head, gone blonde, and she's now going to be a judge on a reality what is it called? On a talent show. Yeah. Is she becoming Jessie J?
Please no.
Please
no. Let her wait for the dark side.
I'm really worried. I'm so worried. She's
so
morphed.
We also had to ask her about that and kind of what her, you know, what her style would be. What does $25 million bring in American Idol?
I just want to find a really good musician and a really good singer. That comes first and foremost, because sometimes they try and do these sob stories first. And I'm like, I understand it. Life is hard. But if you can't sing, then it's not about that. And
I get it.
But I'm not there to play that game. And no. I'm there to support them and like hold them if they need to as humans. But if you're trying to be an artist, let's go.
So who's going to be with her? Simon Cowell has to come back, right?
Obviously. We knew this from X Factor. It doesn't work without Simon Cowell.
It doesn't.
As much as Gary Barlow was a lovely man, it just didn't work without Simon Cowell.
So it's going to be Katy and Simon. Then other rumours are Lionel Richie.
I think that would be good.
Yeah, he's quite sparky, actually.
You know who I'd love to see on something like that is Scooter Braun.
Yeah.
Really?
Like
well,
a manager,
he knows it.
The game.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, he plays that game hard.
Discovered Ariana.
Yep.
Justin.
He's very talented. He's probably too now to do that, I think. Mm. And he's also kind of a bit of a celebrity. So I think he'd want to keep his like allure.
I mean, that's the success of Simon, because it's all well and good having singers to say who's a good singer, but you kind of need someone who's like, well, who's actually going to sell? And, you know, Simon Cowell did that amazingly with One Direction. He was like, these guys on their own are nothing. Together, they're everything and they conquered the world. And I don't think anyone else would have seen that necessarily. So you kind of do need a manager's eye and maybe someone a bit more, not relevant than Simon Cowell, but he only deals with X Factor and American Idol contestants now, doesn't he? He's not in the game as much as Scooter Braun is.
Right.
Would be a good shout.
I loved it when they had Nikki and Mariah on it. That was
so
funny.
Oh, the feud.
And it was just,
it was too much.
About the judges.
True. Yeah, that's true.
It becomes so about the judges. It's like when it was Sharon Osbourne and Danny Minogue.
Unbelievable.
Your favourite clip to play on the radio.
No, it's just this amazing Connie Huck moment on Extra Factor where she was like, sometimes the judges just, you know, like pick the wrong song. And she's like, unbelievable. It was so great. Massive jokes.
I can't believe you remember that.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. No, anyway, so yeah.
Do you think Katy's going to be any good?
So, yeah. Oh, definitely. She will feel everything. Like, she'll feel the contestants, I think. I think she'll be really good.
I'm on the fence. I can't say yet. I don't know. I don't know whether...
You know who the fourth judge should be?
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Oh,
bringing it back.
Oh, my God.
It
would be Nicki Minaj.
Please no.
The next judge is Taylor, who we're paying $50 million.
Oh, please no.
No, I think that would send Katy over the edge. I'm not sure. I think that $25 million is an extortionate amount to pay for Katy Perry. I think Katy's great, but I don't know if she's worth $25 million. I don't know if her opinion is that, I don't know.
Yeah, good? Definitely it is.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on the fence. I'm open to it. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out in 2018. See you back here in 2018, guys.
There's also another story buzzing about Katy Perry this week, which I'm kind of obsessed with in a that did not happen. So basically,
This is a classic tabloid story.
Saying that Katy Perry and Chris Martin hooked up at Glastonbury. Basically because they were hanging out backstage together and they were obviously short of stories. So there's a picture of them two sneaking off backstage. No, they're not. They're just walking next to each other.
They held hands, didn't they?
Yeah, but he holds hands with everyone. He held hands with Kylie that time.
He's a touchy-feely guy.
He's a touchy-feely guy. He totally
He's
is.
He's a tactile man.
He's a yogi bunny.
That is a funny story. There's also rumours that he snogged Dua Lipa in the VIP. But he's now come out saying that absolutely did not happen.
You interviewed his girlfriend a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Annabelle Wallace. They've been going out for a good few years now, right?
A year and a bit since he's sort of split from Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, so we talked to Annabelle Wallace, who was in The Mummy. You know, she said in the interview that she went on holiday to Dubai with her boyfriend, which is obviously Chris Martin. And I said this on the podcast before. My friend worked on The Mummy and they were, you know, holding hands and running around together and very coupley. So
such a conscious handholder.
I feel like if you're going to make up a story, like, make sure the people in it are single. Like, kind of get your facts together.
Yeah.
There are any number of single musicians out there. Just pick one of those.
I just thought, yeah, typical tabloid fodder, that one. Yeah. However.
You know, though, if we had a picture, that would be on the front page.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not above tabloid fodder, but I just feel like it should have some ground.
We should call it out.
Also, the next one that I am obsessed with, Brad Pitt and Sienna Miller. But this is one that's been buzzing around for a while. They have been pictured together a lot. They did the film.
Lost City of Z
together. So the rumour is that they were caught kissing at Glastonbury as well, in the rabbit hole.
What's the rabbit hole?
It's just like, I thought it was like you actually had to crawl through a hole to get into it, and it was like this secret club, but apparently it's just a tent in Glastonbury called the rabbit hole where anything goes.
Oh, Jo's reliving her life. Yeah. Tell us about it, Jo.
That's cool.
I haven't actually been to Glastonbury, so I don't know too much about it.
Neither.
But
me neither.
What a
guys.
Saddo.
We're the worst journalists ever. I will say, from meeting Sienna Miller twice, I totally get if you fall in love with her. She's the most beautiful, charming, funny, cool person ever. Cool.
And I've loved her fashion since day one.
She's the person that got me wearing skinny jeans. Obviously a very formative person in my life.
Skinny jeans and gladiator sandals.
Yes. A look of my past.
Loved it.
Obviously did not look like Sienna
Miller. Everything she wears is amazing. I constantly put pictures of her on my Instagram.
And you're basically a Sienna Miller stan fan site, aren't you?
Yeah, I love her. I love her hair. I love everything about her. And yeah, I think she is definitely Brad's type. And he is her type because she's got a bit of a history with A-list Hollywood stars.
What are you saying?
Well, Jude Law, then Daniel Craig.
Why do you think they only go out? I've always wondered this. Why do they only go out with other celebrities?
Because I think it's a world. I think it's a world that no one else can really get.
But you know what they say about like poking your pen in the office ink, like you shouldn't sleep with people that you work with. Yet they all do that.
They don't really work together, though, do they? They might just show up at parties together, but they're not. I mean, this is why so many co-stars get together and then break up, because
but when you're on a film with someone, like, so she did Layer Cake with Daniel Craig, you're spending enough time with this person and having fun and, you know, seeing them at
getting off with them.
Why would you not get
Jude
with them?
Law with Alfie?
Exactly.
I think that, I mean, we know this from being on red carpets and, you know, occasionally getting invited to a party. Their world is so different to ours. You know, you go to a junket and there's someone bringing them coffee anytime they want, or ordering that, you know, they have people on hand in a way that we just would never understand. And I think you have to have someone with that kind of point of reference of what it's like to have, you know, photographers in your garden and stuff like that.
I'm in the wrong job, guys. I'm going to go and start in.
In terms of, you know, levels of men and, you know, in terms of celebrity that she's been with, Brad Pitt is top
drawer.
I wonder if they're going to go public and wonder what Angelina's going to say.
Oh. Do you think she'll say something? I feel like she'll remain.
She'll probably do something.
Re-release her album, 1989, back on Spotify. Spotify, maybe.
Put all of her movies on Netflix.
Yes.
I did actually find it strange when Sienna Miller ended up with Tom Sturridge, because I thought he was the least likely person that she would go out with.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite cute. And then she had a kid with him. And
Marlo. Great name.
Thing about Sienna Miller, I know we have to wrap up soon because we're kind of waffling, but I do love about the fact what you see is what you get. She doesn't seem to be that type of person that has a persona for interviews and then her normal persona. I think she is very real when you meet her.
Oh, yeah. I kind of...
Really disarming.
You know, sometimes, maybe this is going to reveal a bit about myself, but I sometimes get nervous interviewing kind of like very pretty female actresses because sometimes they can be a bit cold.
A bit mean.
Yeah. Mean girls to girls.
No way. You can't say that. Are you kidding me?
No.
But she's such a queen.
She's the people's princess.
I love J-Lo.
I will say I was quite nervous to interview Sienna because I was like, oh, it's going to be like at school where I'm just sitting with the pretty girl and whatever. She is the nicest person ever. And like, even if you ask her a question that she doesn't want to answer, she'll say it. Like, she'll answer you in a nice way. She won't be like a dick to you.
I can't believe you shamed J-Lo.
She's the new Ed Sheeran in my life.
She's a mean girl.
Well, can we talk about what happened? Because I think people want to know.
Well, I interviewed her for Hunger Games.
Kind of common knowledge that she's not that nice.
Really?
Very nice. She just sort of makes you feel like, like you're back at school with the pretty popular one.
Okay. I'm sad to hear that. She's a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
She is.
But Sienna Miller is...
Not a people person.
But maybe not. But Sienna Miller is just perfect, right?
Grand perfect.
Great.
Yeah. I
hope that...
on Shade.
I hope that their relationship works out.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That would be good for the world.
I'm interested to watch that space.
How does that name work? Because Brangelina was brilliant. What have we got?
Brianna.
Yeah, I'm here for that. Brianna.
That's sad.
Sounds
sad.
A bit...
Sad.
We'll sleep with Brianna. And on that note, let's wrap it up, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
James. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
So this is We're Obsessed With. It's the Heat weekly podcast. It comes out every Friday for more showbiz gossip. The magazine is out now. Heat Radio is on 24/7 and go to heatworld.com for breaking news.
See ya.
See you later.
Bye.